So according to a food consumption study, you're not going to believe this, on a yearly basis, we have a tendency to eat, on average, 23 pounds of French fries. We eat 23 pounds of pizza, 24 pounds of ice cream. Not at one time, guys. This is throughout the year, okay? We're consuming 53 gallons of soda. Okay, and we're doing 24 pounds of artificial sweeteners a year. We're also doing 2.7 pounds of salt. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm just kidding. And 90,000 milligrams of caffeine in a single year. You say, hey, I'm above average. Maybe not. Now, is it any wonder that in America, 70% are slightly or greatly overweight? 70%. And the number continues to go up. The percentages continue to rise. As it turns out, we are spending $3 trillion a year on medical care. But the good news is that apparently, according to research, much of what afflicts us with our diseases, by the way, 1 in 2 have some kind of chronic disease in America. 1 in 2. But the good news is that apparently a change in lifestyle can reverse many of the diseases that afflict us. Consider this. How many of us have ever considered that food can heal? This is the biggest scientific discovery since the germ theory of disease and antibiotics. Food is what?
Medicine.
Is medicine. Food is the most powerful drug on the planet. It can improve the expression of thousands of genes, balance dozens of hormones, and optimize tens of thousands of protein networks. It can cure most chronic diseases. And it works faster, better, and cheaper than any what? Prescription drug. And all the side effects are good ones. And so, why don't we eat healthier? Why are we not taking better care of our bodies? Now you think about it, food actually communicates messages to our bodies, communicates signals to either improve and strengthen us or to weaken us. Every bite is a very powerful opportunity to create healing or degradation. Real whole food that comes from the earth, as was seen in our children's story, is the best food. And yet, hey, if you're like me, you find yourself in Safeway grabbing those items that have the most color on the packaging, that say the word healthy, and that look, you know, attractive. Those are the things that fill up my shopping cart. Unfortunately, many of us don't eat food anymore. We eat factory-made, industrially produced, food-like substances. And we are paying for it. Think about it. A few decades back, it was this cool invention, frozen meals. Do you remember that? Kids, you're like, what? Frozen meals. You would actually take something out of the freezer. It was all there. All you had to do is put it in the microwave, push start, and in 3 minutes, you had a meal. And then, you know, canning things, jarring things, packaging. It seemed like the greatest invention for humanity to have this food already. All you got to do is tear it open, put in some water, stir, and serve. And that's my way of cooking, actually. And so we thought it was a good thing until we realized that it's actually debilitating us, bringing us disease at record numbers, causing depression. And creating disease. Studies show that we are at a record number when it comes to prescription drugs. A record number. I mean, is it just me, or is there a pharmacy virtually on every corner? The good news is, though, the Lord knew this would happen in our society. He knew we would get to this point. And so, therefore, he has developed the best diet plan on the face of the earth. All right? Kids, the word for today, of course it's food. The word is food. Apollo, Chad, count how many times I say the word food. And if I throw in a diet, you can count that too. All right? The word is food, and you will get some food after, okay, if you count. All right? You can be 18 or 19 and count. When Jesus walked the earth, he was really into people, right? When we study his life, we see that he really cared for the needs of people, their most basic needs. In fact, more often than not, he was ministering to their health needs. He cared for how they were doing in their life. And so he would often heal. He would bring recovery, restoration. Sometimes when someone was discouraged, bring a word of encouragement. He preached some, but mainly he ministered to those who were hurting and needed healing, because Jesus actually offers the abundant life. You believe that? Jesus offers the abundant life. He said it this way in John 10:10, I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, you might be thinking, well, yeah, I know that Jesus offers the abundant life, you know, everlasting life, right? Eternal life. Yeah, I knew about that. But what about this life right now? Well, I believe that when Jesus walked the earth, he was continually helping people with their health needs because he was building credibility. You know what? You can trust me with your life now, and you can also trust me with your eternal life later. Now, last Sabbath, we began a brand new sermon series called Building a Better You. And if you'll recall, we talked about one key principle when it comes to health management. One thing we cannot forget, and that is that our body does not belong to us, right? It is on loan to us. We are the manager of our body. And the reason why we're the manager is because Jesus Christ bought us with his blood, right? And so therefore, he is the creator and our savior, and he asks us to be the manager of his body. Our bodies are therefore the temple of God. God, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. We honor God with our choices, with our self-control. But you know what? It's the Lord that gave us a tongue, you know, the nose, that we can smell great things, taste great things. And God wants us to enjoy food, even if it's got sugar, right? Sugar comes from cane, right? Doesn't that grow out of the ground? So that must be good. But too much of anything is not a good thing. Today we continue our series looking at what the Bible teaches when it comes to food, nutrition, and diet. Apparently Jesus cares about that as well. Well, let's take a little quick survey of what God has in mind when it comes to diet. And we've got to go to the very beginning of the Bible to begin that process, right? Let's go to the very beginning, to the creation story, and let's start there and see what God had to say to the first human beings when it comes to diet. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, God said, I have given you every what? Every plant with seeds on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds. This will be your side dish. This will be your appetizer. No, this is your food, Adam and Eve. It's going to come from the ground, and it's going to be what's going to sustain you. It will not have a face. There will not be any death required for you to eat. In fact, it will be alive when you eat it. But as a result of falling to the forbidden food, something else happened. Adam and Eve found themselves, asked to leave the garden, and therefore God had to modify the diet and give Adam and Eve an expansion of what they would eat. Genesis 3:18 says, the ground will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. So in addition to the other items in the garden, you'll now, Adam and Eve, be eating things that grow from the ground. Things like vegetables. Not as sweet as fruit, but certainly very nutritious, with phytochemicals and chlorophyll, which will build your immune system. Adam and Eve, since you are no longer eating the fruit from the tree of life, which would give you eternal life, since you're not able to have that fruit, I'm going to give you some vegetables to sustain you. Now, we know what happened, though. There was another great crisis in the world, in the history of the world. Evil continued to grow and abound, and so therefore God said, we need to start over. We need to do over. We're going to wash this world clean. And so Noah preached and brought his family into the ark, and the world was covered with water. And when he came out after a year plus, how much vegetation was on the surface of the earth? Zero, right? Because the world had been covered with water. And then God made another exception to the diet. He said, all right, I'm going to work with you here. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3 says, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, now I'll give you everything. Wow. That's pretty good. Everything? Except God also said, by the way, Noah, when you're loading up the ark with the animals two by two, make sure you bring on extra of the what? Of the clean, seven of those. Because God was preparing for this new menu, this new expansion. By the way, what was the average lifespan before the flood for human beings? Anybody have any idea? About, 900 years, thereabouts. How would you like to live on the earth for 900 years? Friends, 70 years, 80 years, you're kind of like, you know what? I'm ready for eternal life. Not in this place. But 900 years. 900 years. So that was the average lifespan, and then the flood, and then the lifespan went to 120 years. Now, you say, well, what happened? Well, I believe that one reason for the great reduction of lifespan was the diet that man began to indulge in, the post-flood diet that included meat. Now, by the way, you say, well, so did God say that we could eat anything? There's a lot of stuff out there. Well, actually, no, God did have some prescription. He said that you are to eat the clean animals, but there are some unclean animals. And, basically, it's very simple. In Leviticus chapter 11, it tells us, it's very simple. What is an unclean animal? It's a scavenger. Anything that eats something else that used to be alive or, now is dead, that is not something that is fit for human consumption. Now, in our society, we like to eat some scavengers, and other scavengers we don't. We're certainly really into, sorry, but this is a scavenger, pork, right? The pig earns its name for a reason. They will eat anything. And, I'm sorry to say this, but I have had a taste of bacon a long time ago, way back. And it is good. It is really good. But it's unclean, and for some reason, the Lord said in his wisdom, it's not going to be good for your body. And you know what? If you look it up, just Google pork and health. Science confirms it's one of the worst meats for us. Now, we do not in our society order scavengers of the air. We don't say, you know what, I'd like to have a breast of bald eagle. Or I'll take two drumsticks of vulture. Because, you know, we just don't eat those things that fly that are scavengers. In our society, we don't. But when it comes to the ocean, we have no problem. Which is why we will, not us, but some will actually order shrimp and eat the vacuum cleaners of the ocean. But, you know, think about it. God, in his wisdom and in his care for our body, said, don't eat scavengers. You're bringing their pollutants into your body. So these dietary instructions were also given to the children of Israel. And God gave a promise to them if they would follow it. Exodus 15:26, God said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the what? Diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who what? For who heals you. Apparently, food has the power to heal. Food also has the power to destroy. Friends, the Bible tells us, though, that the children of Israel rebelled. They would not follow those health practices. And as a result, you know what their lifespan was? 60, not 120. In the wilderness, 60. Let me ask you this. Is it possible that God has a preference for the kind of diet that he wants us to have right now? Does he prefer us to have a pre-flood diet, a vegetarian diet, or a post-flood diet? What do you think? You think the Lord is like, you know what? You know, we've progressed as a society. We had to open it up after the flood because there was no vegetation. Therefore, you know what? I want to just encourage everyone to eat meat. You know, in our society, there is a growing fascination with health. Have you noticed that? I mean, it seems like every month there's a new movie coming out. Now, you've probably heard of Forks Over Knives. You know, that, I'll give you, if you've never seen it, it's really forks, what you eat over scalpels, right? You don't want to have a surgery because of your food consumption. But there's, you know, different movies like Sick, Fat, and Nearly Dead. You could probably guess what that movie's about. Movies like Food, Inc., and a movie that came out recently called What the Health. That's a provocative title, by the way. That's why I wanted you to finish the sentence. And you know, when you look at these different movies, they all have the same theme. They're kind of guiding us to the kind of a modern conclusion that somehow we're better off if we eat vegetarian food than meat. Now, you know what? There's a lot of authors out there also. Perhaps you've heard of some of these books. The China Study. You've heard of perhaps Plant Paradox, Food and Healing, Foods That Cure Disease, or How Not to Die. Apparently, they're also writing the same type of thing, that food has the power to heal us or the power to destroy. Now, these are sort of a modern understanding that's coming out. You know, one of the books that I'm reading right now called The Daniel Plan, it's almost as if people have gotten together the last 20 years, like, you know what? We should be eating vegetarian foods because that's better for our body. That's what... It's like this dawning that just happened. And yet, there was an author that over 100 years ago already knew this. Our bodies are built up from the food we eat. There is a constant breaking down of the tissues of the body. Every movement of every organ involves waste, and this waste is repaired from our what? Our food. Each organ of the body requires its share of nutrition. The brain must be supplied with its portion. The bones, muscles, and nerves demand theirs. It's a wonderful process that transforms the food into blood and uses this blood to build up the varied parts of the body. But this process is going on continually, supplying with life and strength to each nerve, muscle, and tissue. From the book, Ministry of Healing. But you might be thinking, I don't know of anyone in the Bible that actually followed the pre-flood diet. You know, if you read the sequence, right, and you start seeing the stories, I mean, it seems like everybody was eating meat. Who's following that pre-flood diet? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, and I want to just bring you up to speed. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he is the leader of Babylon, and he is on a fast expansion of his reign. And he has conquered the nation of Israel, and he has captured some of the inhabitants, even some that are part of the royal family. And it was common that the conqueror would take some of the royal blood of that nation that was conquered and bring them back to their kingdom to assimilate them into their kingdom, try to get buy-in, and to try to get the nation's best for their nation. And so here we're picking up the story with a few captured youth by the name of Daniel, as well as three companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And these, along with some other captives, made a 1,000-mile trek to Babylon. And there they arrived at a new place with new standards and values. Now, the Bible tells us that these Hebrews were selected to go in a special training at the University of Babylon for distinct training so that one day they could serve in the administration with their knowledge and wisdom. It was a smart strategy of the Babylonians to take the best from the conquered countries and bring them into their administration. So let's pick up the story, Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated for 3 years. At the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. So these are chosen youth. And they are beginning their education. And the king says, hey, because you're special, because I see promise in you, because you are princely, I'm going to bring you to my table. They would have a chance to eat like kings, literally. By the way, there is a reason why kings don't live as long as peasants. Right? The king's rich diet. And so at that table was all kinds of great things. Certainly everything that we saw that Pastor Miguel showed us, plus some other things that were on that table. Probably some pork, some horse, and some other extravagant meats that were there. Difficult to capture and catch and cook meats that were there. And so here we have Daniel and his three friends. They know that they have been honored to be invited to be guests at this table, and they have a decision to make. What will they do? Sometimes, youth, when we have a chance to get away from the house, we like to make our own choices, maybe even depart from the way we were raised, kind of discard the values and the things that were taught to us, and especially when no one will know. And you know what? There was no way that mom and dad in Jerusalem knew what Daniel and his three friends were going to do. And yet somehow, God had put it in their heart to not want to participate in this array of food. One reason, number one, there was unclean meats. Number two, probably offered to idols. And number three, they knew that by participating in the food and the feasting, that somehow they were linking the king to their success so he could take credit. Hey, I nourished you, and your success is my success. For all those reasons, but mainly because they wanted to honor God, they had this decision to make. Daniel 1:8 says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself." Now, certainly Daniel and his three friends had a conversation. You know what? You talk to the commander. No, you. Well, what if he says that we have to? Well, then we have to say we're not going to. Yeah, but what if he says we're going to go to jail or prison? Well, then we're going to. What if he says we're going to lose our life? Then we have to, because we're going to follow God, not man. We're not going to honor this earthly king. We're going to honor the King of Kings. So Daniel made up his mind. He did not rationalize or justify. You know what? It's a little bit inconvenient to have this discussion. No, he did the hard thing. Reminds me of someone else who did the hard thing. Someone who, for 40 days, did not eat anything. And then was visited by a certain tempter who said, "Hey, turn these stones into bread. Feed yourself. You deserve it, Jesus. You've been going long enough without food." But Jesus did not succumb to the devil's temptation, did he? Because he purposed in his heart that he would not fall. And also, he had aligned himself with his Father, with God the Father, who has authority over everything. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about how he had authority over everything. In fact, it was the last promise that Jesus made as he was leaving the earth. He said this statement. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Authority in the Greek is the word exousia. Exousia. Meaning that Jesus Christ has authority over everything in the universe, including your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Jesus Christ has exousia over everything in your life. Do you believe it? And see, Daniel knew that. And so they relied upon the strength of God to say, "Help us to do the right thing. Help us to care for the body that you've entrusted to us." Jesus demonstrated that when he was in the wilderness, depending on his Father to deny those temptations of the devil. Daniel 1:8 says, Daniel would not defile himself, pollute himself with the king's food, with the king's wine. But you know, Daniel and his friends probably said, not only do we not want to pollute ourselves, we also want to give ourselves a clear mind. So Daniel was committed to a pre-flood diet. Do we not live in a Babylon today? Are we not also living in a place where there are so many opportunities to eat the king's food? It's so convenient. It's so easy. And it tastes really good. And yet, yeah, we can have Burger King. The point is that there are a lot of choices that are not very healthy for our bodies. You know, when I walk down the aisle of Safeway, they have one or two aisles dedicated just to wine. I walk down and there's aisle after aisle of frozen or packaged foods. These mass-produced foods are not good for the body. Americans put a premium on convenience and taste. And nutrition is second because, frankly, when I eat some fries, I don't really see any real results that are affecting me drastically, negatively, right? So we eat the unhealthy stuff. But friends, I wonder if Daniel is reminding you, as he's been reminding me, that perhaps we need to take a re-examination as to how we nourish our bodies. We don't have to be another statistics, right? We don't have to be part of the one in two that have some kind of underlying disease. You know, for example, have you ever heard of the phrase, an apple a day keeps the... Do you know where that's found in the Bible? It's not. All right, but do you know who said it? Benjamin Franklin. He's a pretty smart guy. And apparently, science is confirming that, in fact, it's true. If you're eating an apple a day, you're less likely, and it is the best fruit, by the way, to fight cancer and heart disease and type 2 diabetes. An apple. It also has antioxidants. And it gives you UV protection as well, so that when you go on long walks, you're not going to get sunburned. That's just an apple. By the way, there's a lot of other fruit out there, right? Somehow we've got it in our mind that, you know, man, do I have to step down to fruits and vegetables? Really? I mean, that's... We're going to talk about how our taste buds change. So what else is in God's pantry for your body that will actually enhance your body like you've never seen it before? Daniel chapter 1, now verses 11 through 13. But Daniel said to the overseer from the commander of the officials who was appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for how long? 10 days. And let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the what? The king's choice food. And deal with your servants according to what you see. It was almost kind of like a competition, right? Daniel was saying, hey, we are going to compete with those others who are eating from the king's table, the really good food, right? And we're going to eat the inferior food, the vegetables and just water. And let's see what happens, commander. Just 10 days. We don't want you to lose your life over this. And that gives you just a little sample of what could be. That was an act of faith, right? See, whenever we do something for Jesus and there's no guarantees of what's going to happen, that's an act of faith. The Hebrew men believed that God would heal their bodies and bless their bodies and honor them. And by the way, 10 days is a good amount of time. Perhaps the Lord is saying to you, you know, maybe the beverages that you're choosing, or maybe the snacks that you're having consistently, or whatever it is, maybe the Spirit is saying to you, give this to me. 10 days is a good time to try it out. Be sure to ask Jesus to give you the exousia, the authority over your appetite and food choices. Daniel 1:15, and at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. Fatter is an expression of just looking healthier, right? They looked better than those who were eating the king's food. Special diet. And so therefore, Daniel and his three friends, they ate vegetables. Now you're like, vegetables? Man, that's boring. But the Hebrew translation is more than just vegetables. It's legumes, which is beans. It's grains. It's also fruits. It's things that grow that could be converted to food. And by the way, they just drank water. No soda, no juice, no wine, and no Starbucks. They just had water. That was it. I don't know how the Lord may be speaking to you on something. I don't know. But our body is a temple. Now, I remember when I was learning about milk. You know, milk does the body good. You know that campaign that we've heard over and over and over, and it's supposedly going to help us with calcium. Anyway, the more I learned about milk, the more I realized it's not good for my body. So I had to retrain myself on another alternative. So I tried drinking soy milk. Oh, that was terrible. It was so watery. It was like water with my cereal. Oh, man. And then I tried rice milk. That was more watery. And then almond milk. Tastes too much like beans. And then, you know. Anyway, but eventually, I actually started liking soy milk. And now, that's what I have. Instead of, you know, I don't even think about milk. My taste buds change. And that's what happens, Lord, friends. The Lord will change your taste buds. For things that are healthy, things that are from the ground and from the earth, from the tree. Because he wants us to have a healthy life. So, Daniel and his three friends would have to prove that their special nutritional plan was effective. The Bible says they studied hard, and after 3 years, it was time for the oral exams. By the way, that is the hardest test, guys. Guys, can you imagine Apollo and Chad? You know, when you take a written test, you kind of have, at least the answer's there, right? You just eliminate. But when you have an oral exam, you either know it or you don't. And so the Bible says they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar and they passed, summa cum laude. Daniel chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. The king called with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they enter the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in his realm, better than those who ate the king's food, better than those who grew up and knew the language, better than the smart ones in Babylon. 10 times, maybe to match off the 10 days. God honors those who honor him. Now, friends, I want to be very, very clear about something. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about you're saved by your diet. Jesus saves us by his blood alone. Amen? Jesus saves us because he loves us, not because we're worthy. However, the Lord has given us a prescription, a manual for our body to follow to help safeguard us from those things that can hurt us that the enemy would bring upon us. That's what we're talking about here, how to care for the body he's entrusted us with. You think about it. When we talk about trusting God with our body, we're actually trying to preserve his sanctuary, and the most holy place of his sanctuary is our brain. And this is where he communicates with us. And when we eat the right foods, we have the clearest mind. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, the way they eat, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your body and my body is a temple of God. And I wonder if the Lord has been speaking to you, as he has me through this week in preparing for this sermon, about how I can better honor God with my body. Consider this quote as we're wrapping up. To every soul, Satan comes with a temptation in many alluring forms on the point of indulgence of what? Of appetite, of all things. The body is a most important medium through which the mind and the soul are derived for the upbuilding of character. Hence, it is that the adversary of souls directs his temptations to the enfeebling and degrading of the physical powers. Make no mistake about it. The enemy is definitely after us in any way he can find us. But Jesus, he wants to give us a victory. He wants to give you exousia, authority over all things, including your body, your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health. Now, you might be thinking, is there an example of someone here that has seen God work through healing them with food? Yes, there is. I'm glad you asked, because I want to invite Evangelina to come forward. Evangelina is going to share briefly, as we're wrapping up, a little bit of her story about food and healing and spirituality. I told her she has 2 hours. Evangelina, thank you so much for being willing to share. And some of you know her story, but she could write, there's a whole book for her life, but she's going to share one aspect of that story right now.
Okay. Just to begin, a little bit of my history is just, I know this. I started out as a musician, and I had albums that I made, 5 albums. I was going all over the country singing for the Billy Graham Association, and an accident left me in a wheelchair. I won't go into all the aspects of that accident, but I was in a wheelchair for 20 years, and that changed my whole life. I'm so thankful to God for continuing to lead every single day. I had, because of that, I was inactive and eating all the wrong things, and I started to gain weight. I started to have other things I'd never had, diabetes, fibromyalgia, high blood pressure, so many other things that I can't even begin to tell you. But I'd go to the doctor, and they gave no hope. This is the way it's going to be. That's what they say. It's going to be this way. I'm putting you on a medication. Oh, and now I had a side effect from this. I'm giving you another medication. It just kept going on and on and on. And I was very ill from everything that had happened to me and what was happening, the process. But I was dying from the side effects. I finally decided I had to do something, and there was a wonderful doctor I was introduced to, an acupressure doctor, and he started working on this very, very painful process of, with this stick on my body. But the one thing that was so important to me was that he said, you can get out of this wheelchair. You can. He knew I wasn't paralyzed. It was due to the pain that I was experiencing. And so he says, you can. And it was like, what? You can. You don't have to be a diabetic. You can get out of this chair. And every time I'd go to my treatments, he would give me this juice. It was all vegetables, lots and lots of vegetables in there that he made himself, and he would give me. And I started drinking that. By the way, he would tell me, you know, do you know that See's candy? Do you ever eat See's candy? And he'd just look at me and say, that's from the devil. Just want you to know it's from the devil. Okay. I don't do C's anymore. But I was so thankful. And that juice was just making me stronger and feel stronger. But when he told me I could actually heal, I just started to cry because nobody had ever given me permission to heal. And that's what we need to do, is give ourselves permission to heal. Amen. And that kept making me stronger and stronger. Even though I still had all those problems, I was able to get out of the wheelchair. And I was so thankful to God. And then he leads us to different places. I was able to get out of the wheelchair, and I ended up on a cane, still very overweight, still having troubles. And I found a place called New Start over in Weimar, a program that took me through getting rid of some stuff. And I know it's going to hurt, but it was the V word, which is vegan. And I became a vegan. And it was amazing. 3 days, and I was off all of my medications. Every one of them, except for thyroid, because that's a special thing that you have to go through. So I still have my thyroid problems, but I'm so thankful I'm up and better. And I am, you know, I was really stressed this last year, and many of you know that. what our family went through with many deaths in the family, and I was taking all of this stuff inside, and it was just getting worse and worse. And I started to fill out an assessment to go to another program, and they were saying all these things about, well, do you do this? And do you? And I said, well, not before this last year I didn't. Now I guess it snuck in. And do you do this? And something else had snuck in. I had left my lifestyle back there for a little bit. I stepped away from it. So what have I done the last 10 days? I've been away at a fast myself and with God. And I have come back renewed.
Amen.
And feeding myself once again. You know, and I'm praising God once again, because yesterday I met with my little grandson, and I'm able to enjoy him. And that's what we all can do. We need to make sure that our faith is greater than our fears.
Amen.
And believe in all that Pastor said this morning, that those things can bring us. Maybe you don't have all these diseases that I had. Maybe you're just suffering from one thing, but God wants to heal all of us. Amen?
Amen.
He wants all of that. So I know that living that lifestyle changes you, and I'm so thankful for what God has in our lives.
Amen. Let's pray.